Hey guys, Shane Meeting Report here. I drive across the state sometimes to work. At dinner time, I always stop at Arby's, get the same thing. Beef and cheddar, curly fries, side of cheddar, and because it's 80 degrees today, small jamocha shake. I'll be enjoying it while listening to TBTL. Power out.
TBTL.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's Friday. Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
I made this coffee yesterday.
But it tastes like you made it today.
That's because I used yesterday's coffee. It tastes like you made it today.
That's a time saver. Remember that time you left a comment underneath that YouTube video when someone replied and called you a dumbass, so you replied and told them it takes one to know one, and then you stayed up all night hitting refresh on your browser waiting for them to reply, and then you fell asleep crying?
I remember it differently.
This is like that.
Okay, T-Bone, time for some serious crunching.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. It is time for a Friday afternoon edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Ooh.
My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host, coming to you today from the Valley of the Sun, Scottsdale, Arizona, and the Hotel Valley Ho.
It's going to be very hot. It's going to be very uncomfortable for everybody.
We have a great show in store for you. It's episode 2648 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
And we want to tell you about the latest doings at the United States Postal Service. You know, they've been much maligned. They've had some problems, paying the bills. Because even though apparently no one's using the post office, when you go to the post office, there's always a line out the door. It is a confusing situation there. How are they both losing money and busier than any place you ever go? But they have now come up with something that is so genius. It is actually, it's motivating me to want to go to the post office and buy some stamps and then scratch those stamps and sniff them before mailing.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
That's because they are rolling out scratch and sniff stamps coming up. So we'll tell you about that. We've also got some Friday afternoon music for your weekend. Oh, and I talk about what a super maximizer I tend to be. I'm always trying to upgrade my experience, and I tried to do that today here at the Hotel Valley Ho, and I failed miserably.
Do you set yourself up to completely fail the crowd, or you go out there and you rock a house?
I did the opposite of rocking a house today as we were getting ready to start this recording. So I'll tell you about that too, plus emails and V-mails and a whole bunch of other stuff. As soon as we say hello to this guy, the longest running co-bro of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace and their splendor. He's not one of those college kids that's going to talk your ears off. He just wants to know if it's too early to get a fish sandwich. He's known for a few of his intriguing qualities, including...
He's got hair, he's got chutzpah, and broad-based knowledge.
He's back at it again with the white vans. He's Andrew Walsh, and he joins us today from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Hello, my friend.
With every passing day, I have less hair, and I'm trying to figure out if my chutzpah is going up or down.
But more chutzpah.
I don't know. I don't know, man. Maybe if I go to Dr. Arakaki, I will get more chutzpah. I'm not sure. That was a joke for the majority of our audience who are sports radio listeners in the Seattle area.
We need to start pulling some audio from the Dr. Arakaki's ads.
That way people at least know what we're talking about, yeah.
Oh, man. Andrew, I've got so much stuff swimming through my head right now that is threatening to make this a particularly terrible recording of the show. And I've got to block out the haters and also just the stresses of my life and my job life. I told you right before we started recording, this is one of those days where I realize just how foolhardy it is to have 9 jobs at the same time. And again, I know that's a high class problem to have. feel very lucky that I've been able to get the jobs that I have. But today is a moment where it feels like it's all collapsing in on me. And I'm like so stressed. And then I get an email. Never look at the emails before the show. As you were playing that intro music, I just casually peek down at the emails and I get an email from a listener that just has me wanting to go nuclear on a morning when I already wanted to go nuclear.
Oh, shit. This is from a listener? One of our listeners?
Yeah, I was already wound up. I was already extremely wound up today, and now it's like someone just lit the fuse.
Am I copied on this? Because I maybe I should read it, and then can I make the decision about whether or not we...
You mean you're going to read it silently to yourself?
Oh, my God. Okay, well, I'll tell you right now. Subject line, not the best subject line I've ever received. Okay. We'll start with just a subject line, and then I will decide whether or not we're going to read the whole thing. Okay. Subject line, big fan, but please get some therapy.
Yeah. I appreciate the big fan part.
Right.
I appreciate, I'm not even joking. I'm not joking. Big fan part, you know, somebody is, they're not, this is a person who is obviously triggered as they're sending me this email, but they're also trying to work against the fact that they're triggered, if that makes any sense. Because this person is kind of giving it to me with both barrels, but they also realize that they're triggered, and so they're trying to some degree, mitigate. But they're not, in my opinion, doing an effective job of that.
Hmm. Yeah. So, okay, I guess I'll, you know what? No, let's not read it. No, just kidding. Can you imagine if we just didn't read it?
Well,
now?
Let me give you, how about this? Let me give you the run-up to this, okay, quickly. And I want to preface all of this by saying I understand that the stresses that I have in my life on this particular day that we are recording the show, as I sit here in Scottsdale, Arizona, I understand that the stresses are self-created by me, okay, and are stresses that many people would be very stoked to have as their stresses. I want to really preface things with that. I'm a very fortunate individual to have the life that I have. But today is a day where I had to record a bunch of stuff for Livewire, for the radio show, so that they could put it together this week and put it on the radio. And I also am already currently running behind to go to my CBS TV shoot that I'm doing. And we needed to record this show, and we needed to record some promos that are going to air, I think, on the CBC for this show. And as this is all, like, as I actually got up pretty early this morning. Like, I didn't drink much yesterday, which was an intentional thing because I didn't want to be a mess this morning. Like, I was on the plane and I was very tempted to just start to, you know, start to go to, I don't know what you'd call it, not feel your feelings town on the airplane. I didn't. Got up early this morning, and then I realized that the room that they'd put me in was, like, right next to a really, really busy road. And just, like, kept being, like, every 3 seconds there'd be, like, a Harley that would go down the road or a giant beer truck. So I went to the front desk and I said, is there any chance I could move to a quieter room because I got to record some stuff? And they were super nice and they said, yeah, we can move you to this other room. They moved me to this other room, which happens to be next to a huge lawn, which right as it was time for me to start trying to record all these things, they started mowing that huge lawn. And not just – and by the way, the grass did not look like it needed mowing. So they mow the whole thing and I'm like, okay, they're finally done. I've been sitting here just like twiddling my thumbs for like probably 20 to 30 minutes. They mow the lawn. I'm like, it looks beautiful, you guys. I'm thinking this in my mind. And then they start mowing it in the other direction. They're mowing a diamond pattern.
So when you mow something in a diamond pattern, you'd mentioned before the show started that they were doing it in a diamond pattern. I don't think I realized. I thought you meant they were just being meticulous. But that means essentially the job of getting the grass from long to shorter is done, but then you do it in a pattern just for looks. Like when my mom wanted me to vacuum the floor in a certain way, and like if we didn't see the stripes, then the floor wasn't really vacuumed.
Yes, exactly. And
was
by the
it
way,
my mom? She lives in Arizona. Was it my mom mowing the lawn?
This was an older gal who said something about her son having a very kind of angry relationship with his coworker. Does that sound like something your mom would possibly say?
I don't know. I would describe it as a distaste, so I'm not sure.
Well, it looks beautiful, I have to say. And of course, in my mind, I know intellectually that this guy who's out there mowing the lawn is simply doing his job. There's no universe in which he's out there mowing the diamond pattern to vex me personally. I understand that that's not what's going on, but it's so hard to not feel like the universe is is tilting against me on this day, because again, times, you know, and I'm getting emails from the LiveWire people saying, when can you send the stuff? And I'm like, they're mowing the lawn. I don't know what to do. And I keep just going to the window and looking out there, like me looking at the guy mowing the lawn. I mean, he couldn't see me, but somehow me looking at him was going to speed up the process. And so then that finally that's done. And I'm recording that stuff, whatever. I send it off. You and I get dialed up and we're ready to do our show. And like I've already established, I'm feeling a little bit stressed out. And then this email comes in from listener Michael. Big fan, but please get some therapy. And why I looked at it, I'll never know, but I did. Do you want to read it? Do you want me to read it?
Sure, I'll read it. Somehow,
we need to remind people.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you do a really quick version of this? Because this will be the third day in a row we're talking about it.
Sorry. Okay, so for the last two episodes of the show, I was talking about a slightly unpleasant interaction I'd had on Twitter with a person where I still believe the person was stealing someone's joke, and I pointed it out, and then this person said, no, I'm not stealing a joke, it's a meme. I think that's a misunderstanding of how memes work, and then whatever. So I was complaining about that the last couple of days on the show, and so this is what listener Michael was responding to.
So Michael says, go ahead. What?
Listener Michael sent this because of the time-space continuum and how we're emailing or how we're recording these shows. Listener Michael doesn't even know that he's got a whole new earful of me being mad about.
Right.
He's got
only
two
heard
earfuls. He's emailing this
today
as of Wednesday's show.
Oh, so, my Lord, Michael, you haven't even gotten to Thursday.
You don't even know that Thursday's show involves me talking about this, and you don't even know that Friday's show involves me talking about you.
As Dan Savage would say, it gets worse. You have no idea, my friend.
You,
oh my God.
Buckle up, Bubby.
The thing is, Michael may never hear this, though, because if he is triggered by Wednesday's show,
yeah,
ain't no way he's getting through Thursday's show. But anyway, he says, some housewife, which, by the way, I don't think housewife is the preferred
I don't believe
nomenclature.
That I and I don't believe I described this person as a housewife.
I don't think so, because I think I would have buzzed
middle,
you,
too. I might have said middle-aged woman or something.
Yeah.
I don't think I said housewife, for what that's worth, which is
right.
That's a nitpick, but...
Yeah, and I mean, I think that you were very dismissive in your description of her, certainly, maybe implied that, but I'm just on, you know, kind of semantics here. Housewife is, I think, a kind of antiquated term. Anyway, some housewife, which you belittle for being, riffs on a joke on Twitter, which sends you, the radio star, well, that's nice, you're a star, the radio star, into a narcissistic rage? Not a good look. And listening to poor Andrew... I'm very rich. Listening to poor Andrew try to talk you down was just sad. Just sad. Again, 99% love the show daily, but this was really off-putting.
You should be off-putting.
I cannot hear the word off-putting without hearing that drop. That's J-Law, right, on Between Two Ferns. You should be off-putting. Anyway, you know what, though? Like, I'm gonna go... I'm slightly less stressed than you today, but I will say that...
Yo, I'm too blessed to be stressed. That's a decision I just made in the last 8 seconds, so I'm not even mad anymore.
I'm too stressed to be... never mind. I'm going to... can I abort? Abort? We used to have a policy back when I was hanging out with Genevieve and her friends in Boston that you could just pull out of a joke by yelling, abort, abort! Is that okay? Can we apply that
sure.
here, too?
Yeah.
All right, good. So, screw that. No, you know what? Michael was listening to the show... part of me agrees with him, but that doesn't mean I'm trying to throw you under the bus either, Luke. And we will talk. Wait, hold on. We will talk about this on yesterday's show, huh? And this is what I was trying to say to you is that I can totally relate to you that why some small petty thing that happens on Twitter becomes outsized in our brains and in our hearts and in our emotions, and that's one of the things about Twitter that isn't so great, and I've been where you are, where I can't let it go, but you also were clearly in a place where you couldn't let it go, but you probably should have yesterday, and that's what we were kind of working with, and also, like you say, I think that these things tend to pop up when we're stressed about other things in our lives. Like, I continued, last night was another night, like, I have not gotten in a Twitter war in forever. I mentioned obliquely yesterday that I kind of got into it with a reporter at the Times right before bed a couple of nights ago. Yesterday night, last night, as they say here in the States,
sure.
Once again, I'm going to bed. I saw something posted by our friend Matt Pittman, who works at Cairo Radio. He used to be on air as a sports guy. He wrote something about the national anthem policy of the NFL on Twitter. And some MAGA guy writes to him and says, stick to sports, man. I like your sports stuff, but stay in your lane. And he's just like, I haven't been on the air talking about sports in a long time. Like, I'm a human being. These are my feelings on these things, etc. And then MAGA guy kind of keeps going on and says some really crazy things. And then last night, like, the last thing I do before turning out the light is I respond to MAGA guy. Like, I wasn't even involved in this conversation at all. Nobody invited me in other than I was watching this conversation between these two people. I love Matt Pittman, and this other guy was just saying crazy things.
Shame on everybody involved.
I immediately deleted the tweet, by the way, which was the smartest thing I've ever done, because I would have just, like, I wouldn't have gone to sleep. I would have kept checking to see if the guy had replied, then I would have somehow just invited myself into somebody else's Twitter beef. But my point with all of that is that had nothing to do with MAGA guy, and nor did it have anything to do with my appreciation of Matt Pittman, my friend. It had a lot more to do with me probably just being stressed out about a lot of shit right now. And for some reason, a couple of nights ago, I opened the door to Twitter beef in my life again. And I almost lost my brain again. And I'm so glad I closed that door. But I think that that's part of the underlying issue here, too. So I wouldn't say that Michael is totally wrong. But, you know, nobody wants to get a subject line that says get some therapy. That's just not a great opening. That's not a great way to express how you're feeling about the show.
Well,
but I don't know
that
you and I
I'm very sure that I highly doubt that Michael listened to the entire show, went for a healthful walk, sat down, thought about things, and then emailed us. My guess would be that that email was generated during the listening to the show, i.e. very much about being triggered. Like, was listening, heard it, was triggered, and then sent the email.
Right, exactly. And, you know, what Michael has done here, you and I probably do as well. It's a little bit different because I don't think that you and I usually – well, actually, that's not true. I'm belying this because I guess in a certain way you did specifically write back to this one woman. But, you know, I don't send a lot of angry emails to individuals. I might say shit on this show in the course of our job that is maybe unpleasant to people, but I try not to target people or send emails that say you should get some therapy. But anyway, I think that Michael is probably, like you say, just like in a moment. Can I totally, unless you had something else to say here, I want to tell you about something that delighted me, an email that we got from a listener that gave me the opposite feelings.
Let's do that. Because, by the way, I do have more to say. I have so much more to say on this whole topic, but I'm going to just slowly back away from the Twitter conversation, because, I mean, even what you were just saying, I have a different perspective on it about my reaction, about what was annoying me about the whole situation. But I can see that no more good comes from that. So, yes, tell me about something that made you happy today in your inbox, please.
We have a new listener
We can replace listener Michael with a new listener.
And the listening is coming from inside the house, Luke. I don't know if you saw this. Huh? I forwarded this to you. Who? I checked my APM email yesterday. Are you listening, Nate Toby? No, I actually do. I check that email about once a day. I don't have it on my phone, so I actually have to go and kind of check it once a day. And there's very rarely anything in there that is something that we need to see specifically. But I saw that we got an email from somebody named Peter, who works at American Public Media, and he says, I'm writing to you from the land of Stubot, Engineer Corey, and Eric the Viking Stromstead. In fact, I'm sitting in headquarters of APM right this very moment. I work for Minnesota Public Radio and APM primarily as a photo archivist, so I have a lot of time to listen to podcasts. I found your imaginary radio show a few months ago while looking through the APM portfolio. Most of the other shows have fairly self-explanatory titles. When I came upon yours, I wondered, why is this show called Too Beautiful to Live? Quick interjection. That's a good argument for the podcast name, by the way. If anything, people are like, what the hell is this? Why would you name your show this? And then they click on it. Peter goes on to say,
I feel like that one can go either way, though, right?
Yeah, I guess. Like, why would I click on this?
Yeah, I think that, thankfully, Peter is the curious type. He's got a lifelong love of learning. So he's like, oh, yeah, what is this? Let me learn more. A lot of people in this day and age, they're like, oh, this is confusing. Let me go look at something that's not confusing.
Right, right. Anyway, he goes on from there, and I don't know if you want to answer this now, and I know we're late for a break. I thought maybe we could do this in the Hey Dummies, but Peter basically is an archivist there. He's going through a bunch of old photos. He's going through a bunch of old tape now as well of, like, NPR broadcasts, and so he has extra time to listen to TBTL. And I thought, number one, it's great because we're losing our, let's call them native listeners. Like, we had two listeners in the walls of APM. Amy Wu and the Stewbot, and they're both gone from APM now. And I think we might have one more listener inside the walls of APM. But I always have a theory that if we have at least five people listening who are not our bosses at APM, they contractually can't fire us.
And we specifically record this show at a frequency that our bosses can't hear. It's outside of their hearing range, and that's a very intentional. Very intentional thing. So, yeah, I think that that's legal. I think that's a legally binding contractual thing.
Matthew,
I also just
that's
like
it. We have Matthew. Sorry to interrupt, but we have Matthew and Peter listening. Yeah, okay.
Wow, we've got half the Gospels covered.
Yeah, and you're Luke.
Yeah, how quickly we forget? What are the Gospels? Is there Paul? Is there a Gospel?
No, Peter. That's right. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So Peter.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got Matthew.
Wow, that was weird, by the way. There was a time in my life where, like, I could have just named the Gospels for you, you know, in a matter of a second. And there I was like, wait, is there a book of the Bible called Paul? I don't think there is, right? I mean, Paul was a big
those
figure
are all
in
the
New Testament.
Aren't those all the letters from Paul to the Corinthians, or am I just making that up now?
Yes, Paul the Apostle. But did he? But I don't think he did. He get a book named after him, or it's like Corinthians.
Those are the big four.
You know what I mean? What's that?
Those are the big four: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
No, I think it's John, Paul, George, and Ringo.
Oh God,
almost
that's
positive.
Right.
Positive.
Oh, the Book of Peace and Love. You're thinking of
the Book of This is a serious message to all my. And then you can hear his brain trying to figure out, are they listeners? Are they viewers? What are they? All right. So let's take that quick break that we're overdue for. And then let's come back. And hopefully during the break, I'll get another email from someone that I can get a little worked up about. Because I think, honestly, this is the passion that I bring to the show, Andrew.
Yeah,
this is kind of my value add. And then we'll talk about scratch and sniff stamps. We'll thank some dazzling donors, and we'll throw some music for your weekend down on this Friday edition of the show. All right, stay with us. It's TBTL. We will be right back.
So mad at myself right now. You have no idea.
Oh, I have some idea.
Well, there's a million reasons to be mad at myself, including the stain of Indian food that I got on my new Everlane shirt yesterday, by the way. I'm devastated. I came home, I zouted it out. I don't know if you know they have the new thing called zout. Still woke up this morning.
Stop zouting. I'm right here. I can hear you.
That was the song.
How about Stop Zouting at Me? It's today's show title.
Zout out. Zout out to my homie Peter at APM. that you recognize them because that's The Pains of Being Pure at Heart.
Ah, yes. I love them.
Teenager in Love. But the reason we're under a tight deadline right now. And so I didn't want to get all clever and try to look for some song that ties into what we were talking about or what we were about to talk about. And I like to do that sometimes. I clicked on that quasi-randomly. The track below it is called Hey Paul. It would have tied in perfectly to our Bible talk.
By The Pains of Being Pure at Heart?
Yes, literally
just
the next track.
Just play it.
Okay,
just
here we go.
Play it.
So we'll just start this over. 3, 2, 1. Thank you. recognize the band, Luke?
Who is this? No, I know. Why do I know this?
It is the Pains of Being Pure at Heart. I swear used to like
them.
I love
these guys. You know, they actually played TBTL.
Do you know why I'm playing this song?
No, why?
It's called Hey Paul.
Oh, dude.
We were just talking about
that. That's clever. People think that the show is just a bunch of random accidents, but I mean, there's a lot of forethought. Like, we worked that out. Was it like last night we were emailing about that, about the fact that you were going to play that song?
What I do is I have a list of songs, like, in case the, because we don't want to script it out too much, but we say, okay, there's a chance it's going to go biblical. If it goes biblical, we'll play this.
Yeah.
If we're going to talk about this, you know, Smells Like Teen Spirit was what we're going to do for the stamps. Like, we just had a whole, like, kind of flow chart thing, and that's what we did. Did they really play was it a TBTL live event? Or did they come to the studio? Oh, wow.
No, it was a TBTL live event, I think. I forget which show it was, but they're great. I don't know if they're still together, but I love their sound.
I love that.
You know, this show has always got the chance. Each episode of TBTL can either go nuclear or it can go biblical.
Yeah,
and today we're able to go both. So I consider today a real twofer.
That's right.
You know what? That music actually was perking me up.
Sorry. It took me a second to get to it.
Was that a nuclear bomb going off?
That was a nuclear bomb. I have this left over.
That was not like a nuclear bomb going off. That was like if the nuclear bomb was on a kind of medium height shelf and you knocked it off. And it didn't explode so much as just bang on the floor.
Well, I hit it too late, and then I felt bad for interrupting you. So I did a half measure and I like pulled it down halfway through. It's a little bit better when it rings out. But anyway.
I was gonna say that music actually has perked up my spirits a little bit. And so just lest people think that I'm being completely negative today, this hotel in Scottsdale is so up my alley, Andrew, I cannot even tell you. It was built in the 1950s, and then so it's super mid-century and kind of weirdly mid-century in the way that they used to just try a lot of strange stuff with, like, you know. It's hard to explain, but just basically the architecture of the hotel it's kind of funky in a lot of weird ways. And just like in the 50s, they were like, let's try this. And then in 2007, they came in and they renovated it. So it still has all that kind of mid-century business going, but it's, you know, it's all kind of nice and updated. And it is so awesome. And also it is 1,000 degrees here in Arizona, which I'm actually kind of happy about, because when all is said and done today – I am excited to they have a really cool, like, outdoor restaurant area by the pool. So I just want to say, like, I'm overall I'm in a good state of mind. I just got off to kind of a tough start today. I want to apologize if it was too negative. I'm going to get the nose up on the negativity train.
I think, you know what, I think it's fine. I think we actually have decent energy today. I was about to say something more negative. I actually think that this is a more positive show than the past 2 days. Like, we're still tracking upwards, I think.
That's all that matters, is that the overall trend needs to be upwards.
Leave no podcast behind. It's all about improvement over time.
Yes, it is. And you know what? Speaking of positivity, let's thank...
On your mark.
On your mark.
Get set.
Get set.
Now ready.
Ready.
Go.
Everybody rattle.
Let us thank a donor of the day, and not just a donor of the day, but some donors of the day. I'm talking, of course, about Dave, Carrie, and Gwenny of Stanwood, Washington, a core member of the Skagit Valley Tens. Actually, I don't know if Stanwood's in Skagit Valley, I believe. The Stanwood Tens have been with this show since the very beginning and have been a huge part of our live events, of our picnics, of just so many different moments in this show's life. And so what Dave, Carrie, and Gwenny decided they wanted to do with their kind of time here on the show as Dazzling Donors. And by the way, Dazzling Donors donated a dazzling amount of dough during the TBTL-a-thon. And many of them made recurring donations, which makes the show possible. Here's what Dave, Carrie, and Gwenny say. We've decided to use this space for a series of Zoutouts. I don't know how they knew that was going to be
today's
show.
How did they know? That's amazing.
That's what happens when you're a dazzling donor. You take on certain almost psychic qualities, Andrew. So they said we're going to give a series of shout-outs, birthday greetings, and random thoughts. So here we go. This is almost like a Larry King news and notes in USA Today.
Can I punctuate these with some sort of sound effect? It could be the explosion. Yes. It could be the what do you want me to, or should I just,
what are my options?
Choice? Let's see here. Can I run through this really quickly? Yep. We got this bell. Got this bell. Got the Family Feud bell. Got some buzzers, but I don't want to buzz these guys. We got the explosion. Got three different air. Oh, go ahead.
How about air? Let me hear air horns.
We got the three different air horns from they're you know, mouth air horns.
Bow, bow, bow. Oh, yeah.
And then I don't want to do the sad one. We also have the turkey gobble. Got a.
How did that get on the list?
Got a boing.
Okay, here's what we should do. I'm gonna read these birthday greetings, mm-hmm. zout outs, and random thoughts, mm-hmm. and then you just activate the sound effect that you think makes the most sense.
That feels good to me. Okay. Sounds good.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Happy birthday to our Uncle Craig, who, like us, has been listening since January of 2008. His birthday isn't until June, but having no idea when this will run, we're just going to say happy birthday now.
I love it. Definitely. I think that Uncle Craig's kind of goofy, so he got the horn.
Shout out to some other Stanwood 10s. Gary, Holly, and Merritt watch the Miniature Tigers Winery Song of the Summer video to see Gwenny and Merritt doing karaoke with Jen Flash Andrews.
Hooray!
Ooh, I like that.
That was a good one. That one from Kevin and Bean.
Also, singing in that video is Lee Lambert's kiddo. Hi, Lee.
Bow, bow, bow.
And for that matter, hi, Jen and Sean.
That's because they can't be here.
Yeah, exactly. What are we, chopped liver? You know what, guys? Don't make me go negative again during your dazzling donor
sorry,
message.
I shouldn't have
don't
played that
do
more.
It. No, it's not on you. I just feel very passed over by that last bullet point. TBTL request. TBTL request. Mm-hmm. More occasional on-air planned weird food segments from Cake in a Cup. God, people seem to love that Cake in a Cup episode. I forgot that that even happened, but it's been referenced a couple of times recently. And McNuggetini to Four Loko and the spicy pizza roulette thing. It's always fun for us at home to eat, drink, along with what you guys are doing.
Who are the ad wizards who came up with this one?
Hey, I'm all for that, right, Andrew? Like, I love eating
yeah.
and drinking, and I love eating and drinking on the air. I know some of the listeners aren't such fans, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, let's do that. Let's come up. We'll come up, particularly this summer, we'll come up with some. Well, actually, speaking of the many projects that are stressing us out, we're working on a food-related radio special, not to be confused with Hey Dummies.
Right.
That will be coming up here.
And not to be confused with the video Hey Dummies. Not to be confused right. with the
which
pilot Hey Dummies.
Which I'm going
to
be recording later as I drive
oh, I forgot about
to
that.
Mesa, Arizona. Shout out to Dana down at the other high school. How's it going? That sounds like that one could almost be a taunt. Like
oh,
if it's
really?
A rival high school. I'm just
oh,
saying,
yeah.
if you read it differently.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
if you shout out to Dana. Down at the other high school. How's it going? I think it was not sent as a taunt, though. I think it was meant as a positive shout out of love.
Mm-hmm.
Zout out to people who used to be on somewhat regularly to talk about movies that you should maybe invite back on sometime. Does that mean Tom Tangney?
I think they're talking about how many tangs do we give him? We give him five tangs.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, Scott Tipton to talk about comic movies, Mark Jordan Legan to talk about seasonal movies, and Tom Tangney to talk about anything, really.
I didn't know
so
that.
There you go.
What's his name used to be on this show? Mark?
Mark Jordan Legan. Yeah, I've known Mark for many moons, and we must have just had him on. I don't know if he wrote a book or he wrote a movie. But we had him on at some point a while ago. I love Mark.
It's all part of that that Luke Burbank Madeline Brand gang because I used to I know him from having him on
Press
the
Play.
Show I did, yeah, on Press Play down in at KCRW a couple of years ago.
Shout out to Cairo for giving this whole thing a place to start, and APM for giving it a place to continue. I love that. That's actually an interesting idea. It's like, you know, Cairo birthed us,
mm-hmm.
but then. APM raised us, and it doesn't mean that we don't love Cairo.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it's an open relationship. We visit Cairo occasionally, but we think of APM as our real parents now.
And because I never worked at Cairo during the TBTL days, I need to get that 23andMe shit to figure out where I fit into all of this.
Shout out to you guys for making the show family friendly. I mean, yeah, occasional swears, but that's cool. Gwenny thinks the show is awesome. She's been listening since she was born in August 2008.
Wow.
When we put a radio near her crib so she could hear the comforting sounds of TBTL as she fell asleep. And has listened every day since and been pretty much every all ages, been to pretty much every all ages listener event for that matter. Major bear. Yeah, Gwenny. Yeah. I feel like I've watched Gwenny grow up. And that's one of the cool things about getting to do this show for all these years is, you know, we've got a kid who's the so-called prom baby because all indications are he was conceived. I think his name's Daniel. Bruce and Lake Stevens, Bruce formerly of Lake Stevens kid. Daniel was, we're told, conceived after the TBTL prom. Gwenny's been coming to things for her whole life. It's really fun to someday when these kids grow up and have their own kids, if we're still doing this show.
Ooh, that would be a great special.
Yeah. I wonder if we can keep it going that long. We'll see. I mean.
Well, if those CBC promos pay off, we'll double our listeners in no time.
Hey. All right. Here's the next bullet point. Question. We're going to New York in a few weeks, and we will certainly go eat a bagel. Any suggestions for a bagel place? First of all, I know I say the word bagel weird.
Sorry.
No, that was my fault. There was a little afterbirth on that one.
My problem is I thought this was a shorter drop, but it's 8 seconds. Let's just see what happens.
It's a clown question, bro.
Okay, there you go.
You know what? I don't have any super great New York City bagel recommendations, to be honest with you. Like, I remember liking this having a bagel there occasionally, and I'm always telling people to go eat a bagel. I don't know, maybe get some blazing bagels from Seattle and fly them. It's not the water.
Oh,
just
my God.
Just tell everybody, remind everybody in New York that it's not the water, though, will you?
How happy would we make the Chief Bagel, or Captain Bagel, as I like to call him, if we took some of his blazing bagels from Seattle, took them to New York, and then ate them in front of New Yorkers, and just said,
and
it's
screamed,
not
it's not the water.
With a mouthful of bagel, with like little bits of bagel kind of spitting out.
I'd be willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, which brings up a point. One of our favorite things is listening to TBTL when we are on vacation, in the car, or on a road trip, or in a hotel room in a foreign city. It's a great reminder of things that are good in the world.
Aww.
And finally, Gwenny, who is a Ravenclaw. That's a Potter house, right? Is that what Ravenclaw is, Andrew?
It's some sort of Harry Potter thing, but I'm unfamiliar with that world.
Okay, cool. Gwenny, who is a Ravenclaw, recently bought a book of, as it turned out, mostly terrible Harry Potter jokes and asked if we could end with two of her favorites. Absolutely. All right, you got the
you got a ring shot in here.
Okay, get something ready because these are some fire Potter jokes, courtesy of Gwenny's book.
So you're going to ask them to me. I'm not going to read them along with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I never figured you for a Ravenclaw, Gwenny. I figured you for a Hufflepuff. Is that a thing?
That sounds right.
Or Slytherin. These are things that I think are maybe Harry Potter houses. Okay, here we go. stop trying to make Potter jokes, Dad. That's Addie circa 19... That's Addie circa 2004, probably, as to a Harry Potter movie.
Did you go see Harry Potter movies with her? And did she read the books?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, then you
I
should know more about
them.
This. Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't pay a lot of attention.
Did you read them with her or to her?
No, she read them and would just read them. One time she said to me, I've talked about this on the show before. I asked her, I was like, how many times have you read the whole series of Potter books? She goes, I'm always reading them. She's like, it's just kind of a continuous loop. Like, whenever she is just, you know, a little bored or wants some comfort reading, she just dips back into whatever. I mean, this was 5-10 years ago that she said this to me. But, like, she just sort of, for years, was just always in the process of reading whatever Harry Potter book she was on. And then would just start over at the beginning when she was done.
Genevieve has a bunch of books like that, too. Yeah, I admire that. Because Genevieve's always just like, can I just say a really quick, I know we're in the middle of a dazzling donor thing, and then we're trying to keep it quick. You know, I finally finished some book that Genevieve wanted me to read. It's just like this Stephen King book called The Tommyknockers. And I'm a slow reader. It's a very easy read, but it's also a very long book. And I've been reading it for the past probably more than several weeks. I don't know how long it took me to get through it. And then, and I read it on the Kindle app that I share with Genevieve. And then I get done and I'm like, okay, what else is in our library that I should read? And I see that, like, in the time that I read that one book, Genevieve read literally six books. Like, she, I can't see when she's changing her books around because she's always just reading on a Kindle. That girl just burns through books faster than...
Wait, she's a book burner?
Yes, she buys them on her Kindle and then burns her Kindle and buys a new Kindle. It's such a waste.
It does not seem like the Genevieve that I know.
Anyway, okay.
All right, here we go. Harry Potter jokes from Gwynny's book. Gwynny, who is, in fact, a Ravenclaw. Andrew, what is a Death Eater's favorite candy bar?
I don't know.
Bellatrix.
Wait, I got one for you. Luke,
okay.
What is a Death Eater? This is actually just a question.
Oh. Are you familiar with jokes?
I was a joke or a question, but for real, what's a Death Eater? Does anybody know? Okay.
It's a thing that is oh, man. Oh, man. I turned down my little thing because of the razzle-dazzle.
Jokes are really difficult, I must say.
You know what else is difficult? Playing audio drops when you're in Scottsdale. A Death Eater, you know what? If I guess at what a Death Eater is, I'm just gonna frustrate our listeners who are familiar with...
Winnie's going to send you an email that says, go to a therapist.
Oh, my God. What if Gwynny wrote me the exact email that Michael did? That would put me on the horns of a real dilemma because, like, Gwynny is a wonderful, beautiful young person who I have nothing but positive thoughts about. But if she sent me that email, I would be so mad. But I couldn't get mad at her because she's a wonderful, beautiful young person. So don't, Gwynny, don't send me that email, please. What did Barty Crouch Jr., excuse me, why did Barty Crouch Jr. stop taking Polyjuice Potion, Andrew?
I don't know, Luke.
It was making him moody.
I have so many
jokes
thoughts.
Are really difficult, I must say.
Going through my head. I just want to, like, break down. Okay, I know what the word why means. I know what the word did means. And that's all. Then the rest is lost on me. But it looks like they do say here, trust us, that last one really is funny. So
I believe it. I believe it.
That's fun. Well, that was the most sound effects I've ever been allowed to play in the show. So,
Andrew, you're welcome to. I thought that was really fun. I like it. The pressure was off me, too, because I'm usually trying to, like, furiously search around for these dang audio drops.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, doesn't always go great. So anytime, hey, fire at will.
Maybe expand that library a little bit. All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dave, Carrie, and Gwynny for being our dazzling donors and for supporting TBTL. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
A top story, the U.S. Postal Service is rolling out some scratch and sniff stamps. Andrew?
I saw this.
Here's the problem. We do not have time for this silliness. Like, we don't have enough time to really give this its due and do music for your weekend. We're going to have to kind of hustle through it. But I'll just tell you that for me, the most dazzling deet about this story, it's going to be 10 stamps, by the way, featuring watercolor illustrations of popsicles meant to evoke summer nostalgia. But for me, the most interesting part of it was a little blurb. This is in the New York Times piece about the invention of scratch and sniff.
Oh.
In the 1960s, researchers at two companies, 3M and NCR Corporation, were pursuing better ways to trap ink in microscopic pockets on paper for use in carbon copies for cash register receipts.
Whoa.
So they were trying to figure out how to trap ink in little pockets, then have the ink released when you ruptured the pockets so they could do carbon copying. The process they developed, it's called microencapsulation. But after they figured out microencapsulation as it referred to ink, they figured, oh, we could also put scented oils in these little pockets instead of ink. And then when you put pressure on them by scratching, you release the oils and a smell comes out.
It's like your it's like your baldness thing.
Yeah, Propecia was originally a drug that was supposed to address enlarged prostates, but they noticed that the people they were giving it to, the men anyway, were seemingly having more hair growth than they expected. And so they flipped the script and made it into a I guess you could say, anti-baldness drug. Yeah, so this thing, that was just crazy to me because I loved scratch and sniff stickers when I was a kid. Loved them. But I've never given any thought to what the actual mechanism for scratching and sniffing mm-hmm. really is. Like, why is that happening? God, we should do a podcast called Why Is This Happening?
I like, or why is, what about this? Do you listen to Creed? Are you familiar with the band Creed?
A little bit.
So, you know, I'll tell you it off air. I don't want to talk about it here because it's a good idea and I don't want somebody like the Stewbot to steal our idea.
Why did the Stewbot stop listening to Creed? Because it was making him moody? I promise you that's a good joke. I promise you.
I'm going to start saying that after all of my jokes.
What was the best scratch and sniff sticker to you as a kid, do you think? Because I always liked ones that were like root beer. I liked them to be something
exactly
that I also wanted to be consuming. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you know, my experience with scratch and sniffs, like as an adult, I have a very weird relationship with stickers. It's not a weird relationship. I don't like them. I think stickers are gross. I don't like people putting stickers on my skin. You know, this little girl that we used to babysit, Genevieve and I, who we kind of, I feel like really became friends with her and her parents. They lived above us, and I really loved our little communal relationship. And the only negative to that relationship was sometimes she would put stickers on my hand. And I didn't know how to say, I do not like stickers on my hand. I don't like stickers on my fruit and produce. I think that's gross. I don't like taking it off of a cucumber and then it leaves stickiness behind and I got to scrub it in the sink to get the sin out for like 20 minutes. But as a kid, I did like stickers, but I didn't gravitate towards the scratch and sniffs. I mean, I was a kid. Obviously, I had scratch and sniff Snickers. I'm sorry, scratch and sniff stickers. And I had a sticker book. I saw a sticker recently, Luke. Sorry, I'm all over the place on this, but I couldn't believe it. I forgot about those, like, kind of, they were metallic. Do you remember the metallic stickers that you would get that, like, I remember they tended to be like kind of, I think I had like motorcycle ones or race car ones, and they had like a shimmery metallic background and then something was printed on top of it. I had forgotten about those, and I saw one stuck randomly to like a telephone pole or something the other day, and I flipped my shit. I was like, that was the top of the food chain of stickers for me.
Yeah, there was like a lot of that for like BMX bikes and stuff. They would use that kind of technology a lot. My sticker game was, I was intrigued by, you know, puffy stickers and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I think that I thought of that as being kind of more feminine. So my sticker game went hard in the direction of like bike related things and eventually skateboard related things. Where, like, I never had, like, a super nice bike or a super nice skateboard, but I would put so many GD stickers on those things, I figured you probably couldn't even tell after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember putting, like, oh, God, I'm just, like, I was just such a scam artist as a kid. I remember, like, I had a bike that was, like, a real piece of shit, but it kind of looked like a GT. So, like, the bike was something called a Qist, which I had bought at this, like, junky bike shop. But it was kind of a knockoff, basically, of like a GT World Tour, which was a cool bike to have. And so at some point, I remember like somehow scraping off the real stickers and then putting GT stickers on it, just because I was like, I want people to think that this is, you know, a better bike than it is. So I was like using stickers to lie to people as a kid.
It sounds like a religion, a Qist. Well, you know, I don't stand for the pledge because my parents are Qists, and that's just kind of what
you guys can't do blood transfusions, right? What are some of the other rules have been? I was pretty obsessed with scratch and sniff stickers, but I think it was because I didn't get to eat a lot of. My parents were we had a surprisingly healthy diet as kids, and as I've mentioned before, it's not because my parents were really that intentional about, like, you know, not having sugar or like slow food or local, you know, being locavores. It was just my parents were just really, really cheap, and they associated like snacks and junk food and candy with expensive things. So we ended up just like not eating a lot of that. But like if you had like a scratch and sniff that was like programmed to smell like, I don't know, a candy bar or something that I wanted to be eating, I would be obsessed with it. I'd sit there in class, like, or like, you know, you go to the book fair and you get some scratch and sniff stickers. I liked those a lot. The
Scratch and stick sniff. So I keep saying it wrong. Scratch and sniff stickers for dessert again. Oh, like you said, I'm going to give you a mulligan on that because you said your parents are cheap. I mean, usually you describe it as your parents were hard up. I mean, they were hardworking and they didn't have tons of cash, right? Like, maybe you don't want to take the mulligan.
No. They were not. Yeah, I guess you're right. I never thought of it that way. But, you know, when you say someone is cheap, I think the implication is that they have resources, but they're choosing to not use the resources. Mm-hmm. Whereas just when you don't have the resources, is that cheapness? Probably
no,
not.
No, I don't
because
think
that's just
so at
not
all.
Having the money. But see, what's weird is now, I mean, my parents are they still live very modestly and they still earn pretty modestly, but they don't have all those kids living at home. I do think that they have a little, like, here's where my parents, and this is not where this was supposed to go. Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. I said Michael sent me an email. It was my dad. My dad was the one who wrote that email. God damn it. Walter. No, but like the thing with my parents now is that like their move, in my experience, will be they'll be like, okay, well, let's go out for pizza. But then they will not want to order soda. And it's like because it'll be like, well, it's $5 more. And it's like, yeah, but you're here. We're going to spend the money. Like we're going to spend $30. And it's going to be so much more enjoyable if you can wash it down with a nice carbonated beverage. Like I feel like they kind of pull back at the wrong moment,
mm-hmm. yeah.
on the spending. Like it, you know what I mean? Like or they'll go on a vacation and they'll go stay in a hotel somewhere. But then they'll like get like the worst room in the hotel when they could get a much better room for $10 more a night. But they'll be like, no, and I'll be like, yeah, but you know, you're facing the parking lot. And so it's little things like that. Now, as we've already established, I have the opposite problem, which is I'm always trying to super maximize, which leads me to be staring out the sliding glass door angrily at a nice young man who's mowing the lawn in a diamond fashion. So there's definitely two ends of the spectrum. My parents are like, well, my mom is – I'm very much like my mom. My dad is really the one who's different. He's whatever the opposite of a super maximizer is. My dad just like makes the best of the situation. He just goes, okay, well, this is where we're going to be. And he's just happy and content. And I'm constantly looking around like, could this moment be improved in some way?
I'm with you, though, on certain experiences that if you're going to do it, then do it. And if you can't afford or don't want to pay for the whole thing, don't do it. And I'm not saying I'm right about this, but like if – like if I'm having pizza, especially any kind of a celebratory pizza, which is one of my favorite kinds of pizza. But if you're going like, hey, the gang's all together and we're going to have like a little pizza party or we're all going to go out to get some pizza together. And then you're doing that. And then it's like, yeah, but we're all going to have just water. And it's going to be kind of lukewarm with some ice cubes in it. But it's going to be in the right. Big plastic cups that, you know, should have Mountain Dew in them. I'd be like, you know what? I'm not saying I have to have soda with every meal. In fact, I have soda with very, very rarely with meals. But if I am going to have soda or if I'm going to have a meal like that, I would rather have soda with it. Or if I'm going to be drinking water, then you know what? Let me just have a healthy salad and I'll drink some water. I can't explain it. Like there are certain things that just pair together like that. Or like right. I wouldn't want to have to go. And again, this is privilege talking here, but it's also a reluctance to travel. Like I know some people who to them traveling is really important. And so they'll make it by hook or by crook and then they'll you know. You not dine out or just find ways so they can travel but save money. And for me, I'm like, no, traveling is not that important to me. If I'm going to travel, then I'm going to say we're spending a chunk of money and it's going to be, you know, we're going to stay someplace nice that feels very comfortable to me. We'll go out to eat or we'll stay home and we'll save money. Like I have no desire to go on vacation and then, you know, count every dollar while I'm on vacation. Like that sounds less fun to me than just staying
right.
home and not spending money.
Yeah. I agree with that. It's like and not doing it is also an option, but it's like if you're yeah. going to do it, you might as well do it. All right, let's do some music for your week. Speaking of doing it, let's do some music for your weekend here because it's the Friday edition of the show and the people need to know what the hot jams are this weekend. And I think if there's one thing we're known for, Andrew, it's bringing mm-hmm. the hot jams.
Yeah, hottest of hot jams. If you want, I
why don't
go
we start
first.
With you? What,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. What do you got?
It's not a hot jam. It's actually a jam. It's a jam. It's definitely a jam, but it's a jam that is almost 10 years old now. I'm going to use this as a little plug, I guess. Although I don't know why I'm plugging something, but I way back in the day, like about 10 or 11 years ago, I think it was around the time I moved to Seattle the first time, I started a Tumblr. I'm so surprised that the kids are still using the Tumblr, too. Of all the social media things that I would have thought would have lasted this long, wouldn't have guessed Tumblr would have been one of them. But I started a Tumblr, and I only posted music videos. And they were music videos that I had to like the video, if that makes sense. It wasn't just like music videos of songs I liked, but music videos that I thought I liked the song, but also thought the video itself was impressive. And I called it "If You Have Nothing to Say, Then Sing It," which was apparently an old expression in the advertising industry.
Right.
This is according to Bob Garfield. I don't know if this is true or not, but Bob Garfield on the media said that was like kind of a thing. If you got nothing to say, then sing it. And that's what, you know, the advertisers would say as far as getting messages out there. So I created this Tumblr, and I always forget about it. And then once a year, I'm like, holy shit, I got that Tumblr. And I went back, and I was scrolling through it the other day, and I was delighted. It's also like a little bit like a time capsule, or like the music I liked trapped in Ember from like 10 years ago. And this is one of those songs. So that was a boring buildup, but it wouldn't be music for your weekend if I didn't give a boring buildup.
I'll Tumblr for you.
Thank you. This is a song that I'll bet you know, Luke, by the Phenomenal Hand Clap Band. And this song is called 15 to 20. Very disco-y, very fun. And of course, if it's on my Tumblr, you know the video's cool. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. All that money still riding the bus. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. All that time and nothing to show for it. Cooperation of the local police. They're more than pleased. I just spoke to the chief. He said the deputy is ready and he's standing on by. He'll call the bomb squad and the SWAT team and the FBI. So what's it gonna take to get through to you? So what's it gonna take to get through to you? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. All that money still riding the bus. All that money still riding the bus. All these questions and suggestions are the savings and loan. We're speaking loudly and we're clearly on a megaphone. There's a red can, there's a blue can, there's a bright white can. Is all that money riding the bus? Is that a gambling term by any chance?
I haven't heard it in a gambling environment. I like that song though.
It's fun and funky.
Yeah, it is. Very summery.
Me. Yeah.
Speaking of summery, one guy, one time.
It was a guy. It's a disco guy.
Speaking of summery, I'm very excited about this new Beach House record, 7. Mm. It's very summery to me. It's being described as kind of their dreamiest album yet, which, of course, I like me some good dream pop, as they say. So I've been listening to it a bunch, and I think right now my favorite song is and can you play this from from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington?
Absolutely.
I want to recommend Lemon Glow by Beach House off their new album 7. Take a listen to this.
This game I play, I do it.
know how this song does it, but I feel like it's this song is both happy and ominous.
Yeah.
At the same time, those are not usually two things happening in the same song. But yeah, I love these guys. I really, really dig them. And if you like Beach House, I highly recommend you check out this this new album. All right. We are at the final moments of our broadcast week because we are going to give you the listener suggestion. And then we're going to be all done. The listener suggestion comes from Alex. Alex says, Drew, Lernk, hello.
Thank you for using our Christian names.
Yes. As you both know, it's been too nice, too early here in the old Seattle region. And as such, my summer playlists have crept their way into rotation. But I ain't mad at that. This song by Twin Peaks has an upbeat driving down the highway vibe, and I feel like it's a perfect way to dive into this long Memorial Day weekend. So that's what we're going to play for you here. I don't think I know this band Twin Peaks, but I really like this song. So I guess take a listen to this. Enjoy the long weekend, everybody. To everybody who I don't like anymore who emailed me this week, let's just check back in next week and see if we can rebuild this relationship.
I think we can.
To my haters, I got nothing but love for you. And to the people that love me, thank you. Thanks for supporting me in this very important work that I do on TBTL and my other 9 jobs. Seriously, though, everybody have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday with more Imaginary Radio for you. Until then, go Mariners. Go eat a bagel. It's not the water. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all. That was me singing with a bagel in my mouth.
Oh, that was like Mr. Unlimited.
Really didn't work.
Hey, we waited through a whole show with Mr. Unlimited. That's a win.
Yeah. Improvement over time. Just go into a show. Wish you were here right next to me. Oh, but you already know. Maybe I'm the one who loves you. Watch out. Don't let me get you down. Power out.